This is the Good Things Guy podcast with myself, Brendan DeCue, South Africa's very own Good Things Guy. I'm on a mission to change what the world pays attention to. I truly believe that there's good news all around us, and I spend my time hunting down and reporting on the best good news stories from South Africa and the world. In the Good Things Guy podcast, you'll meet these everyday heroes and hear their incredible stories. Welcome back to the Good Things Guy Jackpod. This week is going to be a little bit different, and it's a little bit odd for me. I'm normally on the other end of the seat, and I get to ask questions and listen to people's stories. And someone that I met on Twitter, Kev Sanders, I mean, we've been following each other for quite some time, and we started chatting about his podcast and podcasting in South Africa and how podcasts work and all those great things. And he asked me if I could be on his podcast. And I said, why don't we do a double podcast or a joint podcast where we're sort of interviewing each other, or he's interviewing me, or however it works, it's a conversation, and we'll put it up on Jackpod, as well as his podcast, which is Disruptive Intent. So, Kev, welcome. The stage is yours, I guess.
Yeah, thanks. This is actually weird getting an intro by your guest.
It's a bit bizarre, but take over. This is your space.
Cool. Like I said, Disruptive Intent is a whole conversation where I get to sit and have the privilege of chatting to people that I found interesting, and you're one of those guys. It's random to say it's odd these days to find people focusing on the good with the whole media and everything, focusing on clickbait and negative that. And that's why every morning I go to Twitter and like, okay, cool, what did Brent say? And like, you always have these inspiring messages, and I want to like, but I don't know much about you more than the little bit of like what you know about in Cliff Central and on Jackpot. Like I said, that's the only from over the mic and social media on Twitter, and that's all that I know about you. So I thought, why not get the chance to sit down with you, and then we can have a chat and find out who you are. So if you can give me elevator pitch, who is Brent?
Elevator pitch, who am I? I'm an average guy. That's generally how I start my talks when I have to do talks and get up on stage.
Yeah.
But I explain that I'm an average guy, and the reason for that is because I grew up in the south of Johannesburg.
Okay.
Born in Alberton.
Alberton.
Yeah. And I really lived the middle class average life, if you want to look at it like that. I had a great mom, had a great dad, brothers and sisters, and went to government school. There was no specialness or going to private schools or being part of those clubs. Started working at the age of 15 to have my own money. I mean, my parents didn't have excess money.
Started working
at the age of 15 and somehow figured out that you got to give it your all, and you got to put everything into absolutely. You got to put yourself and as much as you can into everything that you do, in order to succeed and to get something back.
I see.
I think from a young age, I did work towards that, and everything that I've done, I've sort of given 110%, and somehow through what I've done, it's come out better the other side. Yeah. So elevator pitch, maybe not an elevator pitch.
Yeah. that's like I said, that's a concept of the pod. Like, we start off with that elevator pitch, and then it's,
I'm
a very tall building.
I'm a good guy that's just an average guy. And I've taken something that I love and believe in and a passion, and I've turned it into a business.
No, that's awesome. Like I said, that's the thing, what I say. If you can start doing your hobby for a living, that's perfect. That's the way you end up happy, is because then you're excited to do every day. You're not like Monday morning is the worst. It's you're exciting to put on your jersey or whatever, do whatever you need on a Monday. And what I'm actually trying to figure out now is, during that time in Alberton when you like grew up, who were you listening to? What made you change to be that good guy? Because not every, like I said, I bet you the neighbors, like the guy there, he's not starting his own podcast with the good guy and stuff like that.
So, you know, that I think growing up, and if I look back, I was surrounded by incredible human beings. And I think if I have to put that into a frame of reference, my family, my family is and was, and those that are not with us any longer, were incredible human beings that taught me quite a lot and made me believe in myself and gave me the confidence and really that taught me a lot is where it matters, because they taught me things that I still keep with me today. My grandmother, who's no longer with us, yeah. I constantly do silly things where I'll be like, ah, no, don't put your shoes on the table. My gran would kill you. So they've taught me well, and I think that's where it comes from.
Okay, so it's basically just a good foundation that you took off, and it's like the space shuttle. It's like you had a good foundation, now you just took off and ran with the whole idea.
I think so. So a good foundation is a starting point.
Yeah.
Exactly what you said. The neighbor that I had might as well have had a good foundation as well, but are they doing the best that they can possibly do? True. I don't know. And the answer to that is maybe the want.
Yeah.
The want that a human being has, and the drive, and
exactly,
and wanting to do better and wanting to do more. I'll tell you, when I left school, I went to America for 2 years.
Okay.
Year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it 2 years.
Yeah.
And I went over there. It was the first trip that I'd ever really been overseas. Mm-hmm. I wasn't lucky enough to travel when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this really crazy job opportunity in the States.
Okay.
Basically, manual labor at minimum wage
I see.
To pull South Africans over to go to all the really drudge work.
Yeah.
And through my experience, I went there. And the reason why the dates are confusing is because I went there for about a year. And then I came back for a couple of months.
Okay.
And in the couple of months that I was here, all that I could focus on was doing my visa again and getting back over to America. Because my idea was, and in my mind, I believed that the only thing that mattered and the only opportunities that I could find would be in America. Because I was young. I was impressionable.
That's most of the people. If I can think of, my matric here, I think there's at least 5 or 6 people that all went that route. They went Australia, England, or some of them were lucky and may end up in the US. So that
was the thing, right? So I'm 19 years old. I've been living in the States for a year. I've seen all these great things. I mean, standing in the middle of New York for the first time for someone that comes from Alberton is a complete eye opener.
Yeah, yeah.
You realize that there's more to the world than just Alberton.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But once I'd got over the second time, once I'd gone back over the second time, and I was working in America, something changed.
Okay.
And I realized that during that second stint, I realized that my calling was in South Africa.
That's cool.
And I realized that the only way that I would be able to fulfill whoever I am. At the time, I didn't know that I would have a good news website or a show, or I didn't know any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that I had to be back in South Africa, because the place where I would succeed and where I would do good things was where I'd come from. I can't be in another country.
Another country,
I had to be in South Africa.
Well, we're glad you're here. That's
thank you.
Making a change in you. But so you would say that your travels actually broaden your horizon. I think that's one of the key things. Once you speak to successful people, you know they didn't stay in their hometown. They've either been through the whole South Africa, or they've been abroad, and that was like opened their mind. Like I was joking about you earlier about going to a Buddhist monastery, and that, like, I think you need something like that. Once you stay within your own little bubble and then your own echo chamber, you can't reach your potential. You have to see, like, but that, I think that's why they call America the land of opportunity and stuff like that, because that would have opened your mind. It's like, but there's so much to this world to do. What year spectrum were you there?
So
I'm just going to give you your age away.
I don't mind giving my age away.
Cool.
So I matriculated in 2002,
okay,
and I went to the States the first time in 2003.
Okay, cool.
So I'd applied for varsity. Yeah. Because that's what everybody needs to do after school.
Yeah.
And my father had paid the registration fees, and I got into UJ. At the time, it was called RAU. It was still Rand Afrikaanse Universiteit. And I got into UJ, and during registration week, I freaked out.
Mm.
I was like, I can't be in varsity. I'm not ready to study. I hated studying.
Yeah.
Like I didn't enjoy it at all.
Yeah, it's so, the process.
Yeah, so I spoke to my mom, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I gave her a call, and I said, look, Dad's going to be really upset, but I'm not ready to study.
Yeah.
And she was understanding, and she had the conversation with him. He was so mad because, you know, what do you do when your kids are 18 and where are they going to go? And that's when the decision was made to try find an opportunity to go overseas.
Mm-hmm.
But if I take a step back, you said about going to the Buddhist temples or whatever.
Yes.
Just for the listeners, I'd WhatsApp Kevin. I was like, listen, do I need to prepare for this? Do I need to like bring in notes of my life story? And he said, well, if you want to go find yourself, go to a Buddhist temple and then we can reschedule the podcast. In all honesty, I'm now, and I'm not scared of giving away my age, I'm 34. And since that first overseas trip to America, I've been incredibly lucky to have traveled. I've been sent to different countries. I've paid for myself to go to certain trips. So there's been all these experiences that have come my way. And 2 years ago, I got selected on something called the Kerala Blog Express. And it's a trip to Kerala, which is in India. And before, when I was still doing my research and all these great things to go over there, I still called it Kerala. I was like, I'm going to Kerala. And then I arrived and everybody's like, welcome to Kerala. And I'm like, well, this is an eye-opener.
Nice. Alberton, well done.
Raising my flag. But being in Kerala and spending that time in India forever changed me. I really did find myself. And so I'm ready for this interview and whatever questions you're going to throw my way.
No, but that's cool. As I said, I think, would you say then your travels in that would have like shown you the good in people? Because I think that's a cool thing that I've been in South Africa and our neighboring countries and that, and like you always find like you hear the bad in those countries, but most times you experience the good. You see the good people and you see the kind old Tani helping you in Namibia and whatever. So, but it's like I said, those are the, would you claim your travels to your good nature or does that still, or just accelerating what your family has taught you?
I think accelerating is a great word. And another great word is perspective.
Yes.
So I think traveling really does give one perspective.
Definitely.
If we take the state of the nation right now and of South Africa, a lot of the decision making is being made out of fear, I believe. 100%. And the fear that that the majority of South African citizens are feeling is because they're living in poverty, they don't have a lot, and their perspective is as big as what their journey has brought them on.
Yeah.
I've been lucky enough, and again I'll use India as an example. So in Kerala, I've been to India twice, and in Kerala, it's very islandy, and it's very close to being on an island. It feels that way. There's the backwaters, which is all these lagoons and lakes and canals everywhere, and there's palm trees everywhere, and there's coconuts, and so it feels like quite islandy. But last year I got to go to Mumbai, and I did a full 12 days on a train that I traveled around India, and I got to see India. And let me tell you something, poverty in another country and race relations in another country is a very, I want to use the word incredible, which is not the greatest adjective, but it is an incredible thing to see because it changes your perspective.
Definitely.
So in India, there's people that are so poor in India that when you're driving in your tour bus or like we were, and you get to cities, there's people that are begging that are completely naked. And they're not naked because they're trying to get attention. The guides that were with us, because I asked these questions.
Yeah, I was like, why?
They explained that they are naked because they are so poor. They do not have any funds to be able to clothe themselves. And they stand begging naked. And then like learning about, again, in India. I'm going to keep going back there.
Looks like I need to book the flight now.
I promise I've been to different countries. In India, they've got something called the caste system, which I had never heard of, which is bizarre as well. Okay. And my ignorance to learning about other cultures is maybe my downfall. But in the caste system in India, people that look the same, sound the same, and are the same because they're all human and they're all from India. They're segregated into different groups.
Okay.
And as far as I understand, there's five different castes that they call them. And it's a hierarchy. You fit into a certain hierarchy. But the one caste is so thought to be so horrible to be born into that caste that they call them the untouchables. And I heard this from our tour guide in 2018. She told us, without being scared of promoting hate and being racist, she said that if she is at the office and a tea chayla, the tea person, comes and brings her tea and serves her tea, if she finds out that tea chayla is an untouchable, she will throw the tea in that person's face and wash her hands with bleach. It was 2018 when I heard that story, and she wasn't scared to say it.
Yeah, it's like common practice.
Yeah. Totally. And the bus driver who was driving the bus didn't even bat an eyelid. Mm. And the other tour guide didn't, like no one, it was just so normally spoken about. Mm. And that, you take that information and you take that story and you take that perspective, and then you come back to our country, South Africa,
yes.
where race baiting is heightened in our media. Definitely. And in the news and through politicians. Mm,
100%.
But the reality is, if I look at South Africans living, working, loving each other side by side, we live in a beautiful country, and the race is really forced by politicians and such. So the basis and the conclusion there is traveling gives you a perspective.
That's one of the key things, and one of the things I'm trying to always promote is people just reading. People get so stuck in a cost, like you said, in their cost, and that's their group of people. And it's like, why would I want to expand my world? And as soon as you get out of that, it's insane. It's how your mind broadens and your perspective on the whole thing changes, because then you see things through other people's minds. I think that's 90% of the time why any conflict starts, is you don't knowing what the other person's perspective is and why they're making certain choices. Like, I always get really killed about this, because when I was still just in my 20s, I'd just go, now I need to read. Knowledge is power, and you need to read. And I fell in love with reading about bad people, like bad people in history, and trying to figure out what made them do
like what was the
things.
Motivation.
Yeah, I was like, why did you don't get born and it's like, yes, today I'm gonna wipe out this nation, or I'm gonna be Hitler. It's like, maybe Hitler didn't just walk out there. There was a certain event of things, and then actually, one of the people were Hitler. Actually, I read all these books and the perspective on him, and I heard like how he hated the Jews, and he was in an environment where the Jews were thriving and his family was poor, and he was, and obviously, like I said, accumulation of things and not having the emotional intelligence back then, and anyone to teach you that, obviously you'll get angry to a point, and then also he surrounded himself by people that felt the same. So in that same echo chamber, he kept on growing and growing and growing, and if you don't have people that are strong enough around you, I think that's to your point about having amazing people around you, not actually disagreeing with you, but just questioning your stance on something and having the emotional intelligence to know, it's like, okay, maybe I need to adjust my viewpoint on this. And like I said, you can end up Hitler, or a good side where you become a Brent Lineke.
So I must say, to your point, that there's that saying, and it's so cliche, but I think it's so true.
Yeah.
You are the sum of,
yes,
like the five people that you hang around with, or the 10 people that you hang around with. Like you become that.
Mm-hmm.
And someone that I've had on the show before, Richard Mulholland,
yeah,
who is an incredible human
he's
being.
Insanely cool.
He loves to call me out on my BS.
Okay.
Like if he thinks that I've said something or done something, or if he just thinks that I'm not doing things the correct way, he'll pick up the phone and he'll be like, Brent, that's not cool.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Mm.
I love that. It's good to have those people around you.
Exactly. Just recently, I think a year or so ago, I started avoiding bad conversations. Like I said, at the office, you get these groups of people that huddle together around a cigarette, and everyone's like, yeah, but it's like, how bad is this? And how horrible is this? And then that just accumulates, and this guy tries to beat this guy by how bad his story is. And all of a sudden, you've got five people that are so angry at the world. And now you get those people in a car on the N1, and they, like, it's just the butterfly effect from having a bad conversation is so insane.
Well, I was going to, added to that is our social media comment streams. You can get so sucked in to like negativity on social media.
That's why on Twitter now I went and unfollowed all news sources. Any news outlet in the world, I just went and completely unfollowed them, because they're so focused on the bad. It's like, oh, you couldn't believe this person did this, or that person did this, or it's like, why is there no? And then you find the odd story, and it's like, okay, that's why I said I go to your Twitter in the morning. It's like, okay, cool, okay, need something good in the morning. Good in the morning meditation, okay, then go to work. That's fine.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
But it's finding those good opportunities, and I think it's within us all. It's your choice to associate with the bad, or just distance yourself from that, and for a second, evaluate the people that are around you. I'm a big follower of Gary Vaynerchuk. I'm not sure if you know Gary.
He's amazing.
Yeah. He's exactly the same. It's like, okay, he takes it to another extent. It's like, okay, find your loser friend and get rid of him. It's like, okay, that's a tiny bit drastic, but that's kind of what you need to do. Because what is those, like I said, it sounds very selfish, but what are those people going to help you in the long term? Not that you expect something back. You need to give. That's the cool thing about giving, giving, giving and not expecting anything back. It's the way you should be. And then everyone is around you like that, then everyone's going to give to a point. I think that's why I value the friends that I have around me now, because we will randomly send stuff to people and we've got a group on WhatsApp that we chat on, and it's only good. When we go to just have a normal braai or go out to a club or place, whatever, it's good environment. Like, we all encourage each other. There's no about, this guy got promoted, screw him. Like, oh no, Mr. Big Rich or whatever. There's no bad vibes. It sounds cliche, but there's nothing between us. We all encourage each other. And if one member of the group is excelling, it's better for the group. So if one guy caught a massive buffalo, it's like, yes, we're all going to feast tonight. And in the long end, it does end up like that because it benefits us all. And I think that's just the general consent of, and the more that I interact with people that I find, like yourself and the other people, like, it's just a thing. It's just do what you're passionate about, and then you'll be happy in that sense. And then surround yourself with amazing people, and you'll thrive even more. Because that, like I said, that good vibes and good emotion that you have around you attracts more good people around you.
Well, I've seen that now, right? So, good things, guy, will be 4 years old on the 1st of August. Mm. And for 4 years, I've literally, I've swam in an ocean of good news every day.
That's awesome.
Do you know how good that is for my soul?
Yeah.
And for anybody, if not everybody is lucky as me,
yeah,
that they get to do this as a job. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that if you had to go and surround yourself with good people,
yeah,
or, I don't know, it doesn't have to be my websites. It could be someone else's that you find and that feeds your soul. Yeah. I don't know, gardening. If gardening's your thing,
yeah,
and you log on to gardening websites, mm, and you buy gardening magazines and you're feeding your soul, mm, with this goodness every day,
exactly, yeah,
it literally lights up your inside and you light up outside.
Yeah.
You become what you feed your mind.
100%,
yeah. One of the things that I've said time and time again, and it's a question that I've got quite often, with regards to putting your head in the sand like an ostrich.
Yes.
People think that because I'm in this space where I'm reporting on good news and focusing, mm, on the good news, that's all I know.
Yes.
And my answer to that is no. Mm. I know exactly what's going on in our country. I read the news. I watch, mm, Carte Blanche on a Sunday. I, yes, do all the things that, yeah, maybe I shouldn't. Mm. But I do because I believe in balance.
Exactly.
And I balance my mind with the good and the bad so, yeah, I can have that balance. Otherwise, I would be pessimistic and, mm, I would feel terrible about South Africa. And the reality is I don't. Mm. I believe we live in the most incredible country,
true,
in the world.
100%, yeah.
And I believe the reason for that is it's not because of our president, mm, and it's not because of our politicians.
Yeah.
It's not because of what mainstream media tell you to read.
Yeah,
it's because of the people.
100%.
The people. The people in South Africa, mm, are incredible.
True. And like I said, that's one of the things that I, in my photography side, like I said, that's other than doing the podcast, and I enjoy photography and I go to action sports events and stuff like that. And I think the people that you find in these things are the unique things. Okay, it's cool. Like I attended Ultimate X at Sun City just a few weeks ago, and the most incredible story I found was a young guy called Bryce. Him and he's 18 years old. He's a BMX pro. He's going to be a legend soon. He's like very, very, but him and his father's relationship, his father was at the event as well. They're both from America. And I started chatting to him and I said to him, yes, it's so cool to see that kind of, because afterwards he had a run of his, like he finished second and he went to his dad and he hugged his dad and I got a photo of that. And I saw just that emotion. Like, so I'm getting goosebumps now, just feeling of that, because it's so rare to see that. You always hear about, it's like I grew up without a father. It's like myself, I lost my dad when I was 18 years old. And you get so many of those bad stories or a parent walking out on his family and stuff like that. And then you get these one moment where you see like, okay, there's actually some good there, and capturing those stories. I think that's a cool thing. And his father said as well, he called himself Papa T because he's like Papa Tyron or whatever, but he's a party animal, but he's always there for his son. He travels there. He introduced him to the whole BMX thing and he takes him to the park and he takes him here and he had to ride and he travels all over the world. Now that he's 18, he says, okay, now he's struggling to let go because his son can now actually travel on his own. He's an adult now. So, but he's still there. He's still supporting him 110%. And just finding that is so such a cool story, if I can say it like that. And he said it changed with his father being an alcoholic. And he was the youngest of, I think, 5 children or something like that. And he saw some terrible things when he grew up. And he said that stops with him. And I think that's the choice. That's your personal choice. You could have a bad background. Doesn't matter what happened in your past. The choice is with you. Are you going to do good? And that doesn't mean by you're going to do good, you're going to end up in a mansion, drive a Rolls Royce. And it's just that, like I said, that good feeling. It's like taking your vitamins in the morning. It's like you feel good. And that's the aim. I think we will have a lot less angriness, and that on the media side, if we start changing, it won't happen overnight. It's a gradual thing, and it'll be a small change by you, and then that butterfly effect. Like I said, you can either choose your power for good or bad. Like every morning, I think you should just pick up something and say, I'm choosing to be good today, and then
I agree, and it's exactly why Good Things Guy works.
Yes.
And why the jackpot works, and why the stories work, because South Africans are looking for that.
Yeah, yeah.
They want that good news.
100%, yeah. I think everyone's so sick and tired of hearing, oh, this person did this and that again. Like, just a simple story, like I said, my podcast now with, and then people saying, wow, that was actually cool, because the previous podcast I had now was Joe and Monique from Bonafide. They've got a barbershop and beard oil and stuff like cool products. And they chatted, we chatted about them and their relationship and stuff like that. And afterwards, they said to me, like, wow, this is good. It's like now they feel like halfway through the podcast, they started holding hands and stuff. Like I said, I wish I had a camera just to quickly snap this moment. It was so honest moment, if I can say it like that, where people start rethinking about why they do stuff and how they do stuff and the amazing people that they have around them. So it's just seeing that spark in their eye is amazing. That was pretty cool.
I know you're meant to be asking the question.
No, that's cool.
But I would like to know, how did you get into Disruptive Intent, your podcast? How did that start?
I just had a normal 9-to-5 job in IT. I started when I just left school. I went to a college, studied a few Microsoft things and started in IT. And then I just started feeling like this is fulfilling, but it's not, I can't see myself 40, 50 years old still doing this. I'll be very, 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 very sad person.
Well, you don't look like, I know there's not a look, yeah, but in my mind, I imagine like the guys from, The Big Bang Theory.
Oh,
that's like IT guys, right? Yeah, yeah. And you look like, you remind me of Joe Black, actually. You got like
the
big black beard, yeah, and you're full of tattoos. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you could be Joe Black. This is Joe Black's little brother.
I've gotten that so many times. Like if I go to, what's that place called? This Afrikaans, like a Soki place there in Pretoria. And like I had a guy just grab me by the beard, pull me, it's like, hey, Joe. It's like, no, but sorry, no, not me, not Joe. I can't sing. I sing in the shower for myself, maybe.
Well, you know what? You should walk around signing autographs. It could be quite funny. It could be quite funny. Yeah. Sorry, you were saying. So
you
saw yourself not really being an IT.
And so I actually started a company with a friend of mine, and we did a coffee roastery. We had a guy that roasted our beans for it. We packaged it, labeled it, and sold it. That didn't work out 100%, but like I said, I just learned from that. And then I kind of got part of his company, also like I said, a men's grooming type thing, and he sells beard oils and stuff like that. We started working with that together, and like I said, once again, I didn't see myself in sales, because when I was still studying, I did two sales jobs at the same time. It's like walking on the floor and just selling stuff, and I said, I can't do this. I like interacting with people, but I don't want to sell them stuff. And then we actually thought we needed a company to do social media and marketing for these companies. And I said, cool, I enjoy that. I enjoy Facebook. I'm like, spend half my day on Instagram and that. So why not? I'll just start slowly but surely learning this. So we started Disruptive Intent, and we started doing the marketing for our companies that we were involved with. So basically paying yourself to do the marketing. It's smart. Eventually, it came to an end where we separated ways. We had different ideas. We just parted ways. I bought him out of the company, and he continued with his company, and I believe he's still doing good on that side. But I started, okay, now I've got Disruptive Intent. It's like, where am I going to go with this? So I still do the social media marketing. If brands and companies and personalities come to me and it's like, I want to market this. So what I do is I go and I create a campaign for them, create the Facebook content. If they do want a photo shoot, I do that. And in that, with the photo shoot, I discovered, but I enjoy photography. I remember my mom telling me the other day, it's like, jy weet, toe jy klein was, jy my kamera gevat en die weerlig probeer afneem. So, like, stuff like that. And it's like, oh, it's like, this actually comes a long way. But now I started doing the photography and then I've always listened to podcasts. Like I said, part of me, my 20-year-old self, well, early 20s now, is reading more and experiencing more and broadening my horizon. And I said, but I enjoy Joe Rogan's podcast. Why can't I do it? So I took some of the money that I had in the company and I bought mics and stuff like that and said, cool, I'm going to do this podcast thing. And now I'm on this now would be episode 6 podcast, slowly but surely just interviewing people, chatting to people. And it's not a thing that I want to generate revenue from. It's just a thing where another outlet where I can broaden my horizon, yeah, speak to internet. Instead of reading Brent's book about his life and like when he's 50 years old and I'm already almost dead then, then only finding out who these people are, I thought, cool, hit them up on social media and if they're keen, just start talking to them. I like to find out what makes you money, what makes you funny. As I said, those are the two things. If you can get that, you can kind of find out why, what makes that person tick.
What makes me funny?
No.
I don't know. What makes me money? So if we ask that question, Good Things Guy does make me money. And through that, I do talks around the country, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I get to stand up on stage. I still freak out before I get up on stage. I'm petrified.
Yeah, yeah.
But I get up and I love retelling stories. This is what makes me funny is because I look at life through a different lens. Mm-hmm. But the last talk I did was for a massive corporate.
Yeah.
And I got to the venue. It was at Monte Casino. And as I got to the sound desk,
yes,
I noticed a man who I've followed on social media and who I look up to, mm-hmm. and who is just incredible.
Yeah.
His name's Vusi Tembekwayo, and I'm sure people follow him and people know of him. He was on that Dragon Slayer thing on TV,
yeah.
But with Dragon's Den, and he is also and he was speaking before me, which I was really amped for.
Yeah,
but he is, I mean, quote unquote, the world's best speaker.
Yeah, that's quite a big follow.
And I had to go after him. Like, it was, you take my petrifiedness and times that like by a million.
Yeah.
And I listened to him speak and I was besotted. Everything that he says, every word that rolls off his tongue, every story he tells, you're just so engrossed with what he has to say. And then they called me up. And I had to get up and talk, and it was, I mean, I did a good job. I think the client was happy, but that's my funny side, is that I can look at that situation, and as petrified as I am, I can still laugh, shake it off, get up on stage and do my thing.
I think when you're talking about the petrified side, I think once you lose that in a certain aspect, I think you should stop doing that then. Because once it becomes mundane, it becomes like a normal 9-to-5 job then. You're just going through the motion.
If I can say, when I got off stage, he didn't have to stay.
Yeah.
He wasn't booked for the whole day.
Yes.
It was his talk and then he could go. That's how speaking works.
Yes,
you don't
yes.
have to sit around.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat and he listened to my full talk. And when I got off stage, he shook my hand and he said to me, well done. Your story is so inspiring. You were great.
That's awesome,
and I thought to myself, this is the world's best speaker telling me that I'm like, it was just so surreal, such a surreal moment.
I always say, if you feel that you're the smartest person in the room, you're probably not humble enough, because there's always something that you can learn from that. If you get into a room, if I get into this situation, there's a bookload of information that I can get from you, and I believe there's some perspective that you might be able to learn something from me, and I think that's a cool part of.
And that's the beautiful part of being, or the beautiful side of being human.
That's
is that we
yeah.
we can continuously learn from each other.
Exactly.
And everybody, my dad used to tell me, and it's funny. I say these words. I also lost my father.
Yeah.
It's almost been a decade now, but before I ever get on stage or get behind a microphone, whenever this is happening, I hear my dad saying, you've got a story to tell and an opinion that matters. And I think that's every single person in the whole history of the world has got a story to tell and an opinion that matters.
Yeah.
And all we need to do is ourselves be open enough to listen to them.
Yeah.
And that's what we got taught in English. The greatest communication skill is listening. It's not talking.
Yeah,
it's not putting 100%. It out there. It's just sitting back and taking it in.
Taking it in.
Also, a lot of the time when when we are in conversations with each other or trying to learn from each other, we might not be listening because we're thinking about what we're going to say next.
100%, yeah.
And I think that the trick is to stop that and to be like, I'm going to listen to everything you have to say.
100%.
Is that it? Is this podcast done?
I think that's done and dusted. Let's ship this one off.
Well, Kev, thank you for this. I think it's cool for collaboration and for two different voices to come together. I am excited about where podcasting is going
in
South Africa. And it was really cool it was weird to be interviewed.
Yeah.
But it was really cool.
Yeah, it's like also getting questions back and stuff. But hey, this is my role, yeah.
I've got the hats on already.
No, that's fine. Like I said, I think that's a cool thing about it. Again, we broadening our horizons and learning from each other. It was a cool experience. Really cool.
Very cool. Awesome. If you want to catch up with more stuff, tune in to whatever channel you're listening to this on.
Yeah.
And I'm going to wish you only good things.
Same. Yeah. Whatever. Be like, spread that kindness and let's have that butterfly effect eventually. So if you see each other on the highway, instead of flipping someone off, wave to them. So bless them.
I'm Brent Lindekue, South Africa's very own Good Things Guy. And you've been listening to Good Things Guy, a Jackpod podcast. For more episodes or to subscribe, rate or review my podcast, go to iTunes, Iona FM or Google Podcasts. Be kinder than necessary to yourself and each other. Thanks, and only good things.